This morning, we have a special treat. We have Ben and Tara and the family with us. I have been trying to get this guy to come to our church for a while now. You know, as we have, you know, just looked at the vision of this church, you know, part of our vision is respond, restore, release, relate. What that comes out of is, as we were looking back at what God has done in and through this church, we've never really grown to be a huge church, but we have helped launch some significant ministries out of this church. And we said, you know what? I believe that's what God's called us to do. And so we are proud of what God is doing through you and just love it, because that is part of the fruit of this church. And we celebrate that. So we're going to hear from Ben this morning. He's going to cover our Bible points. And when I saw the Bible points, I said, well, I'm sure Ben's going to have some great stories to share of what God is doing all over the world. So we're looking forward to that. Now, there's also a service project that we've been doing as part of our VBS. There's a box over here. And Carrie, my wife, is the furlough coordinator for a organization where there are workers that are coming home on furlough, and she's putting together care packages for them to welcome them home. We said it actually kind of relates to a space VBS, because when they come back home, it's like they're coming from another planet, you know? Or like they're coming to a different planet. And, you know, to be welcomed home, with especially families with some things for the kids to enjoy, is a great way to celebrate them and help them make the transition. There's also going to be a brief congregational meeting after the service today. We do this every year on the last Sunday in June. It shouldn't take long, but we appreciate you sticking around for it. So when the service is over, we'll dismiss, and I'll give a time for the meeting to start. We'll give a little time for transition, because I know there's people who want to greet Ben and Tara, and we'll give time for that transition, and then we'll have our congregational meeting this morning. Also, men's meeting tomorrow evening. Is that correct? 7 to 8, all men are welcome. And Hopewell Summer Camps, brochures are back there. We're happy to help send kids to camp this summer. And then Elijah House starts the end of August. Please register by August 1st, and there are forms on the Information Center. Please see Pastor Sandra if you have any questions. Also, we want to remember to continue to pray for Jeffrey and Sonny. Carrie and I had lunch with them last week to hear how things are going there. And it's kind of slow starting, but Jeffrey preached his first message in English in an English service last week, and they had two people that were from outside the church in attendance to that. So that's a beginning. That's a start. And we are pleased to be able to stand with them in our prayers. Carrie and I know, as people who have been sent out ourselves, we can do more because of the prayer support of the people who are praying. So we want to support Jeffrey and Sonny that way. Well, Ben, it's time. Let's hear what the word of the Lord. Yeah, I don't think we're not going to do children's church today. Yeah. Want to hear what the Lord, word of the Lord is through you. Can I just pray?
Yes, please.
Lord, I thank you for Ben. And Lord, we celebrate. We celebrate, Lord, what you're doing in them and through them, and that they have the opportunity to go places that we only dream of. And that they are part of the fruit of this church. Lord, we thank you for that. Now, Lord, I pray that as Ben opens his mouth, Lord, that you would fill it.
Yes, God. Yes.
And Lord, we thank you for your presence here, the anointing of your Holy Spirit.
Yes, God.
And we welcome your word through Ben.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Joel and Pastor Carrie. Just honor you guys and bless you guys. And yes, as he said, we've been trying to make this connection for quite some time, so we're honored and happy that it's happened. Whenever I'm here, memories flood me. Hey, John, good to see you, buddy. We served at Eagles Wings for a short time together, and then he went on to serve this great nation. So we honor him and bless him. And all the people, Linda Major, Bob Fritch was my youth pastor, you know, just we were running on the rocks. Where was that? The River of Rocks at Eagle something, Eagle Pass or something like Eagle Mountain, right. And Dan and Gladys that are here helped dedicate me to the Lord. My pastors growing up, Pastors John and Sandy, Bob and Shirley Bean, who I carved my name in their chairs and their furniture at Bible study one night. I wasn't real smart about it either because I put my name. So even if I had tried to lie, which would have been wrong, kids, it would have been wrong. Even if I had tried to lie, I couldn't have because my name was there. You know, what an idiot, right? Charlie and Joan Wally and the Teeters, the Hunsburgers, the Cressmans. The Cressmans ministered the baptism of the Holy Spirit to me right on this altar up here. My whole body burned with fire. The Lord commissioned me and just an amazing, amazing place. Got whipped in that bathroom back there a few times, you know. Me and Joey Rodriguez, Sergio was whipping Joey, Neil was whipping Drew, Stevie Petersheim. We were all bad. We were just bad kids, you know. Everybody say my kids are such good kids. I say it must be their mother. It must be their mother, you know. The Schwagers and, you know, just all the years of Bible study at the Schwagers, singing songs that were literally the scriptures and learning and growing in God, and Jess and Jason. So just all of you guys, just love. If I left anybody out, you can practice being unoffendable, and that's good. Hallelujah. But it's just an honor to be here. And Tara, would you and the kids just stand? At least I know you don't want to come up here. But this is my wife, Tara, and our kids, Faith, Lily, and Sophia. Faith just turned 11. Lily is 9. Sophia just turned 4 yesterday. And I'm so proud of them. Couldn't be prouder. So just love you guys. And as Pastor Joel said, I'm going to go over the Bible points today and try to do it in a way that is relevant to all those who are here and as well as the kids. It's good to see you guys. I may call on you for some object lessons. Is that okay? Yeah, maybe. Some of them are saying yes and some of them are shaking their head no. And that is totally fine. So we are going to, let's say it together, shine Jesus' light. One more time, shine Jesus' light. When life feels dark, when life feels dark, Isaiah 60 and verse 1 talks about arising and shining in the midst of darkness. And the Bible doesn't just call it darkness. The Bible refers to it as gross darkness. One of the words in the Hebrew where it means gross, that word gross, it means heavy, thick. And at times, the times we live in can feel heavy, it can feel thick, it can feel like gross darkness. But that is the time that we are to arise and shine Jesus' light. Right, kids? We shine the light of Jesus. And one of the ways that we shine the light of Jesus when life feels dark is we have faith. Faith. Let's all say faith together. I believe that the gift of faith needs to come roaring back to the body of Christ. We had some real good faith teachers in the last several decades, and we've kind of lost a little bit of that, and we need to get back to faith. Faith that overcomes, faith that breaks through, faith that sends us on grand adventures. You know, God can send you on grand adventures, kids. You know, I had all kinds of words spoken to me in this place about grand adventures. Even our pastor, Pastor John, had words spoken to him about going to other nations and setting his feet on other nations. And he had the wisdom to say, maybe that prophecy isn't for me, maybe it's for somebody else. And now I am part of the fruit of his life, and I've gone to over 40 nations now around the world. And also the prayers of my parents. Don't you just honor my parents, Dave and Vicky? I just love and honor them. I don't know where I would be without the prayers of my parents, without the teaching of my parents, without the discipline of my parents, without the love of my parents. And so it's awesome to be here with them as well. You know, some people where I go around the world in churches, they say, you know, I have a right to have a say in this church. I helped to lay the foundation of this church, you know, and it's just hyperbole. It's really not true. But my dad could actually say that about this place. He poured the concrete of the foundation in this place, was one of the ones that did that almost, I think 40 years ago almost now. So 40 plus years ago. Amazing. So we need to have faith. Faith is the word in the Greek pistis. Can you say that? Can I call on you to say that? Pistis?
Pistis.
Good job. You speak a Greek. You can go like this. the Eastern European, Mediterranean, you know, they say Italian, you can turn on Italian speaking by going like this. It's the on switch of Italian speaking. Just go like this. And Greek is sort of the same way, right? Hey, how many give me 5 minutes this morning? Give me 5 minutes to speak. Just raise your hand if you give me 5 minutes. 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40, 45. Okay. Well, we'll definitely be out of here by 2 o'clock. I mean, it'll be amazing, right? But pistis is the word for faith that she so eloquently said, and pistis means confident assurance. Sometimes when we look at the world today, we don't feel like we can have confident assurance, either economically or financially, physically. We had COVID kind of roar through. I remember when COVID came around, I was actually getting on a plane to Israel when COVID was really hitting the United States about March of 2020. And we got on the plane and they shut the door and the Ministry of Tourism in Israel, I had 35 people going with me to Israel at that time, and the Ministry of Tourism released an article that said they weren't going to allow any tourists or people into the nation coming from New York, Seattle, Washington, a few other places, and we were leaving from JFK. So I thought, well, I guess they just shut the door of the plane. I can't get off now without getting thrown off. And so what are we going to do? And then they reversed their decision, you know, in flight, mid-flight, and they let us in. We got in no problem. Woke up the next morning. They said we couldn't tour. I just said, just get on the bus. Just get on the bus, you know. And we toured, and then they reversed their decision, you know, mid-afternoon. Sometimes you just got to get on the bus with God. How many know what I'm saying? You just got to move with God. And part of the power of the enemy in the time that we live in, talking about shining Jesus' light when things feel dark, part of the power of the enemy is he wants to terrify us. He wants to intimidate us. He's like a roaring lion, the Bible says. And when the lion roars, a lion doesn't roar into the air like you see it in the movies, like Aslan does in the Chronicles of Narnia. A lion actually roars into the ground. And do you know, you can feel the roar of a lion in the earth from over a mile away. And so when the enemy, as the enemy of our soul, the devil roars, he roars into the ground, and sometimes we can shake in fear. But God gives us pistis, he gives us faith, and that word means confident assurance. Confident assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want you to just come over here, Peyton. Can you come over here? Please? I'll give you money afterwards. No, come on over here. Come on. You just come over here, right? Now, if you stand, even just stand over here, stand under the fan, and kids, pay attention. This is kind of for you. So just stand under the fan. I see your hair kind of moving. You're like the spitting image of your mother when she was your age. But standing under the fan, you see her hair moving, right? But you don't actually see the wind from the fan, right? You see the effects of the wind from the fan, but you don't see the wind. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I don't see the wind, but the wind is still there. Does that make sense, kids? Sometimes God is like that. We don't always see him, but we can see what he does. We can't always touch him, but we can see what he touches. We can't always hear him, but we can hear through other people his voice and his love. Does that make sense? Is that all right? Okay, good. So pistis, confident assurance of what the Lord does. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so moving on, number two, we're going to shine Jesus' light. Let's say that all together. Shine Jesus' light. Shine Jesus' light when people don't get along. And now we've had a lot of that in our world lately, haven't we? Where people don't get along. Sometimes I think even you guys don't get along, do you? The kids here, you know, the siblings, do you always get along? I know sometimes Faith and Lily and Sophia, we've had a 34-hour car drive from Arizona to New Jersey, where I was ministering in New Jersey in the five boroughs of New York City. I spoke something like 11 times in 6 days before we came over here. But they don't always get along, right? And I heard it as I was driving 34 hours in the car, 2,500 miles down the road. And sometimes in the body of Christ, we don't always get along. I was just recently in Russia, and Russia and Ukraine are kind of throwing bricks at one another right now. They're not getting along very well. And so one of the days that we were there, we had a conference full of 5,000 people that were there at the conference, 5,000 hungry Russian people, hungry for the Lord, hungry for the moving of the Spirit. They actually had to usher me out because I started laying hands and praying for them one time, and they crowded so close around me that I actually felt like I was having a hard time breathing. They were that hungry for the move of God. They'd kind of fall in the Spirit as as I would touch them, and then they would kind of grab onto my ankle and grab onto my leg and grab onto every appropriate place they could grab on or any piece of clothing they could grab on because they were that hungry. That's the hunger that is in the world. And one day, they actually said, we have to evacuate the building, and we have to evacuate the building right now because there's a bomb threat. There's a bomb threat from the Ukrainian forces or the Ukrainian army, so we have to all get out of the building. And this pastor, everybody thinks that Russians hate Ukrainians and Ukrainians hate Russians. It's really not the case. This pastor from Russia, he got down on his knees in the middle of the service with 5,000 people, and as he got down on his knees, all of the people, 5,000 other Russians in this place, got down, and many of them wept, including the pastor for Ukraine, and said, Lord, help Ukraine, bless Ukraine, protect the people. So we prayed for Ukraine, talking about shining the light of Jesus when people aren't getting along. We prayed for the people of Ukraine, even as there was a bomb threat in the building where we were holding the conference with 5,000 people from the Ukrainian forces and from the Ukrainian army. That's amazing. And as we walked out of the building, we had so much joy. They cleared the threat. They got everything out that they needed to get out. And then we went back into the building. We had the best service of the entire conference that we had. And we sang one word and danced to one word the entire 5 hours of this service. And that word was bolshi, which means great. Bolshibo, great God. And we sang and we danced. My friend Darren Stott, who's just a character, you know, had the whole place in an uproar singing about bolshi. Bolshibog, but we were singing Bolshibog, great God, and blessing the Ukrainians even after we had to evacuate the building because there was a bomb threat from the Ukrainian forces. Isn't that amazing? See, you always have the choice to love or not to love. And that is the thing that we need to understand in this hour. With everything that we are going through, God is wanting to teach us to love. There was a man named Bob Jones who's gone on to be with the Lord now. But Bob Jones was an amazing prophet who saw many things that would happen in the future. He saw the Apple Watch before it ever came. He saw many other things before they ever came. And he said that he had a vision one time when he was very sick and he felt like he actually died and the Lord brought him back to the earth. But he had a vision one time, and he had a vision of going to heaven. And as he appeared before the pearly gates, he saw many other people lined up to go into heaven. And they were sent and they were separated to the right and to the left by the Lord Jesus, just like the sheep and the goats from Matthew 25, I believe it is. And as he looked at these people, he saw the first person, and the first person had a huge head. You know, the rest of his body looked like a normal body, but he had a huge head. Can you imagine that, Peyton? Can you imagine that? Just this huge head, like walking around, and it would, like, you know, kind of pull you to one side and then pull you to the other side, you know, just a big head, right? And he said, God, what is this? What is this big head that I see? And the Lord said, intellectualism. He made his mind his God. And then there was another person that he saw, and he saw him wrapped up in his lawn, his turf, you know, and he said, what's this, God? And God said all he cared about was his lawn and how green his lawn was. As ridiculous as that sounds, some people are like that. They care about their lawn. He saw another person, and this person had money all around him, and it was actually torturing him as it was moving around him. And he said, God, what was that? He said, it was greed. And he saw thing after thing after thing after thing. And when he came before the Lord asked him one question. And the question the Lord asked him was, did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? And Bob, in his humility, said, no, Lord, I've been terrible at loving. I haven't loved my neighbor. I haven't loved those that, you know, don't love me. I haven't loved those that have offended me and hurt me. I've been bitter. I've had all these things. And the Lord looked at him with tears in his eyes and said, you've answered well, and I'm sending you back now. He had actually died. This man had died. And the Lord said, I'm sending you back now to learn to love and to teach others how to love. Do you know when Bob Jones went on to be with the Lord, he died on Valentine's Day, the day that we traditionally celebrate love in this nation. And that is what God is wanting to teach us, and how we shine Jesus' light when people don't get along. We learn to love. It's not always easy, right? It's not always easy. In fact, it sometimes is extremely painful. But David, the psalmist, he said this, I won't offer to God that which costs me nothing. He said, I'll offer to God that which is costly to me, that which costs me something. And so for all of our lives, whether we're a child over here, like I said, I'm trying to make this relevant to everybody, whether we're a child or whether we're an adult in this room. In fact, Jesus himself said we need to be converted, right? Converted and to become like a little child. Part of that word converted means to repent. And to repent, some people have said it's walking in one direction and then it's turning around and it's walking in another direction. That's not wrong, okay? It's not wrong, but the word for repent is the word metanoia, and it means to change your mind. And so there are many things we need to change our minds about. We need to change our minds about people we think aren't as deserving as us or as worthy as us of the love of God. We need to change our mind about people that have maybe done us wrong. We need to change our mind about people that we think maybe are different than us or, you know, whatever it might be. And each and every one of us has something, whether we're 10 or 100 in this room today. I don't think anybody's 100, but maybe there's some 10-year-olds. But we need to change our mind and repent and learn to love and shine Jesus' light when people don't get along, okay? Now, number three, we shine Jesus' light when what? When good things happen. Now, that doesn't really make sense, does it, right? All of these things, when people don't get along, when there's darkness, some of them are negative, have a negative connotation, but this is a good one. When good things happen, we shine Jesus' light. You know, one of the hardest times to remember the Lord is when everything is going well. One of the hardest times to praise the Lord and to realize our need for God, because we always have a desperate need for God. It's just sometimes we're more aware of that desperate need than we are at other times. I have become more and more aware of my desperate need for Holy Spirit, my desperate need for the Lord, more and more and more. In fact, the Bible talks about the times that we're living in, Matthew 24 and 25. Matthew 24 is what theologians call the Olivet Discourse or the Olivet Prophecies, because it comes from the Mount of Olives. Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives and taught his disciples. And that Olivet Discourse, or what Jesus taught when he was sitting on a mountain, and isn't it cool, guys, that Jesus stood in one place and he, because of natural acoustics, because of how God naturally made things, without any sound system or microphone or acoustics or anything like that, Jesus could stand at one place near the Mount of Beatitudes, and he could speak, and an entire crowd of thousands and thousands of people could hear him without a microphone. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how God made things like that? And how Jesus, being the Son of God, being God himself, actually knew? Because the Bible says that wisdom was at the side of God when he stretched out the heavens and made the earth. And wisdom is Jesus. Wisdom being by the side of God. Even in Genesis, what it says, let us make man in our own image. It's not singular. It's plural. So Jesus was there with the Father God and Holy Spirit when the heavens were stretched out and when the earth was made. So Jesus would have known exactly where to stand, so that every 10,000 people, it said 5,000 men plus women and children, theologians say it's at least 30,000 people, right? That where Jesus could stand and without a microphone, everybody could hear him. Pretty cool, huh? That he knew that and he knew exactly where to stand, right? But Matthew 24 talks about many things that are going to happen. Many things that are going to happen in the end of times or in the end of the age. And we are living in Matthew 24. We're also living in Hebrews 12. I'm talking prophetically just for a moment. Hebrews 12, where the Bible says, I will shake everything that can be shaken. I will shake the earth, but not only the earth, but I will also shake the heavens. If we could kind of roll back what we see right now in this natural realm, if we could roll back what we see, the colors we see, what we can touch, what we can hear, what we can feel, we would see into the heavens and we would see that seals are breaking in the heavens and many things are happening in the heavens. There's much activity in the heavens. There's much angelic activity in the spirit realm. All kinds of things happening because we're living in Romans 12. We're also living in Psalm chapter 2, where the Bible says that the nations are raging and the people's plotting vain things against the Lord and against his anointed. But I've installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. So Jesus is not going to be shaken. That word rage, it's the word in the Hebrew ragash. And the word ragash means a violent noise or a tumult or commotion. And so it also means agitation. Have you felt the agitation in the times that we're living in? Have you felt the agitation as you're driving down the road? Have you felt the agitation in our politics, in our economy, in our, you know, culture, in our society? There's an agitation, and that agitation is the shaking of Hebrews 12 and the raging of the nations in Psalm chapter 2. But what we hear Jesus say in Matthew 24, where he said that there would be war wars and rumors of wars, that there would be nation against nation, people against people. There would be earthquakes. There was just that massive earthquake in Turkey. And that wasn't by happenstance. And I mourn for the lives that were lost. And I mourn for the property that was damaged and all the devastation that happened. But what does that earthquake tell us in the spirit? It tells us that God is shaking the churches. Because all seven churches that are described in Revelation are actually in what we now know as modern-day Turkey, which was once the cradle of Christianity, is now less than 1% Christian. Was once the cradle of Christianity. The seven original churches is Ephesus, Laodicea, etc. But God is shaking the churches. He's shaking the nations. And what cannot be shaken is remaining. And so, how do we shine God's light when good things happen? It's often when bad things happen that we turn to God. But when good things happen, it sometimes is hard to turn to God. But kids, one time there was a guy named Job. Have you heard of Job? You've heard of the man named Job in the Bible? Yeah? No? Maybe so? Shake your head. Shake no. Just shake like this. Just shake crazy. No? Okay. See, at least one person. You get a high five. You get a cookie afterwards, okay? But there was a man named Job, and Job had everything, kids. He had everything. He was blessed. He was wealthy. He was rich. He was like richer than Bill Gates, right? Okay? He was, okay? And it said he had all kinds of herds and cattle. He had sons and daughters. And in one day, actually, I think it was several days as it went on in the scripture, but the enemy asked the Lord if he could touch Job, because he said, if I touch Job and I take away the good things from Job, then he'll curse me. Right? He'll curse me and he'll die. And God said, you go ahead and you try to test Job. So the enemy touched everything that was Job's and took away everything that was Job's. But Job still didn't curse the Lord. Even at one point, Faith and Lily, Job's wife told him to curse God. Can you imagine mommy saying that to me, right? I would think it would be mommy that would act more like Job. She's certainly the more righteous one. She's the better half by far. But even Job's wife told him, curse God and die. But he said, I will not curse God. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if you live life for for any amount of time, you know that that is true. That the Lord gives. There's seasons where the Lord gives. And man, everything is going well. And often in those seasons, it's easy to forget the Lord. Because we think in our pride, we don't need Him. We don't need the Lord. Because He's blessing us. Oh, His blessing is all throughout my life. But it's in those good seasons where I think we need to remember the Lord the most and bless the Lord the most and be like Job. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, whether it's happy or sad, easy or hard, we remember the Lord, okay? Now, moving on, I want to do this in the time that's been given to me and honor the leader of this house. Point number four, we shine Jesus' light. Can we say that again? Shine Jesus' light. Hallelujah. We shine Jesus' light when people are sad. And the Bible says in Isaiah 61, it's in verses 3 through 10, that we're to put on a garment of praise, say praise, for the spirit of heaviness. Now, Faith and Lily, I want you to come up here. Peyton, I want you to come up here. Remember, you got some money in this. Now, come up here. Come up here. Come on. I know she will. I know she will. Okay? So, the word praise, we read one word. Thank you, Pastor Joel. We read one word for praise in our English language. It's like the word glory. We read one word glory in the Bible, but it's actually nine words in the Hebrew, which is an amazing study, which I don't have time to get into. But we read the word praise, guys, and it's one word in our English language, but in Hebrew, it's seven different words. And all seven different words mean different things. Isn't that cool? Do you want to come up here too? Come on, please, please. I'm not offering any more money. I don't want to be broke after this service. Here we go. Good. Good job. Okay, four. So the seven words that are for praise, I want us to say them together. Say Shabbat. And say Tehillah. Zamar. Barak. Halal. Todah. Yada. Now, I wonder if you would like to do Shabbat. Shabbat means to shout to the Lord. Do you want to shout?
Yeah. Go ahead. Shout. Hello.
I think that was pretty good. Can you do maybe one more? Shout, like, roar!
Get real loud. Hello!
There
There you go. Good job. So you did really good. Shabak, it means to shout to the Lord. Shabak is also rendered as glory many times in the Old Testament. Now, the walls of Jericho, guys, right? You've heard of the walls of Jericho, right? The walls of Jericho, historians tell us, were 10 feet thick. 10 feet thick. That's 3 meters thick. And they were strong, and they were wide, and they were tall, and all of that. And the Bible says Joshua and his people, they walked around the walls for how many days, do you know?
Seven.
Seven, good job. 7 days. They walked around the walls for 7 days. Now, how can you, even if you make like a path, like when you walk through the woods, right? Even if you make a path or you make a rut or a divot in the earth, there's no way that even a million people could walk around those walls for 7 days and put that much of a divot in the ground where the walls would fall over this way or this way. But the Bible says after they had walked around them for 7 days that they shabak, they shouted, and the walls came what? They came crashing down, right? Did they get stronger? Did they come down?
Come down.
They came down. You get the gold star as well. They came down. Now, it must have been something supernatural, right? Because you can't just shout. I can't even shout as loud as I could shout and move this chair. But that's what happens when we shout in the glory. And when people are sad, how do we shine Jesus' light? We put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And one of the ways we put on a garment of praise is we shout to the Lord. Can we just practice that together? Can we all shout? 1, 2, 3. Now, can you feel even from that like a change in the atmosphere? It does something. Praise does something. One of these other words is barak, and I want you to demonstrate this one, Lily. Can you kneel down? Kneel down. There you go. And then just say, I bless you.
I bless you.
Good job. See, she just baraked. Barak means to kneel and bless. In fact, when the Bible says that God blessed Adam and Eve and gave them the dominion mandate, it's actually the word barak. And so let your imagination go for a minute. How much bigger was God than Adam and Eve that he knelt down and he blessed? That the king of all the universe knelt down, did an act of humility to what he himself had created. It's powerful. So to kneel and to bless. Then there's other words. There's the word yada. Can you do this one? Come up here with me. And we're going to do the word yada. And you just stretch out your hands. See, Leah said when she birthed Judah, now I will yada, I will praise the Lord, because he has given me a man to sit on the throne. And the Bible says the scepter would never depart from Judah, Judah being the word yada, which means to extend the hands and to praise. Isn't that cool? Right? Awesome. Then there's another word, and this word is halal, and it means to give God glory. How would you give God glory, Peyton? Just say glory to God. I think that's a good one.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. I love it. See? He hears even our whispers, right? Glory to God. I like that. That was really cool. Okay? And then there's the word zamar. Now, zamar is really cool. Zamar means to play on an instrument, but to play skillfully on an instrument. Do you play skillfully on an instrument? You do? What do you play? You play trumpet. Now, that's really cool. So you can zamar on that instrument, right? You can play skillfully to the Lord. And there's also the connotation of spontaneously. Isn't that fun to play spontaneously before the Lord, right? And so, guys, you can go and take your seats. But all of these things, they break the spirit of heaviness. That's right. Give them a round of applause. They were so good. They break the spirit of heaviness. They put on a garment of praise. And see, in this time that we live in, the enemy wants to put on sadness. The enemy wants to put on heaviness. The enemy wants to put on especially fear. It says, look at the stock market and be afraid. Look at what's happening in Europe and be afraid. Look at what Russia's doing and be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. That's what the enemy is speaking over and over again. But kids, we don't need to be afraid, do we? No, we don't need to be afraid. We need to be bold, right? We need to be strong. You really get the gold star. She's nice to me. You're really nice to me. I appreciate that, right? We need to be bold. We need to be strong because we can shine God's light when people are sad. And then finally, how do we shine God's light? We shine God's light when people need help. when people need help. How many have ever been in need of help? I know I have been in need of help many times in my life, right? And we can shine Jesus' light when people need help. I remember being in Africa one time, and as I was staying there, the people, I wanted to stay with the people, but they refused, and they put me in this really nice hotel. So I was in this really nice hotel, and one morning they came to me, and they said, you know, you and Tara, we were just married. We were married like maybe a month or something like that. We had just gotten married, just gotten to our post in Michigan. I pastored in Michigan for over 10 years, those of you that don't know that. And they got us one morning, and they said, you're going to go with this other pastor to this remote village in this remote tribe, and that's where you're going to be this morning. And I said, let's do it. Come on. That's why I'm here, to do this stuff. So the guy pulls up in a car, and he doesn't speak English, and I don't speak whatever he spoke. I don't know if it was Swahili or whatever he spoke, but he just goes like this. He takes me by the hand, and he goes like this, and he points to the car, and he goes... He didn't even say in or get in. He didn't know any English. He just goes... And I go like this, okay. And then I get in. You can sit down. I get in, okay. So then we go, we start driving. We're driving on the highway at first. Tara remembers that she was right next to me. We start driving on the highway at first, and then we deviate from the highway to another road, and from another road to a dirt road, and from the dirt road, all of a sudden, in the middle of the bush, we just turn left. And it's like Tara and I are like, you know, turning left. We just turn left into the bush, and we're going in open fields. We're dodging trees. We're dodging rocks. At one point, the pastor was looking at something this way, and there was this cow getting closer and closer and closer, and I was like going like this now. I was like, just... Look at the cow. So he sees the cow at the last minute and goes around the cow, and we go and go and go till we get to this tiny little hut in this tiny little village, and they didn't speak any English, and I didn't speak any of the language that they spoke until the translator came. And so this is the one and only time I've ever done this. I've spoken through translators many times over the years, but this time I spoke through two translators. So there was the translator that spoke English, and he put it into Swahili, and then from Swahili, this other guy translated it into the language to the people. So I would say, God is good. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. God loves you. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da-da. It was really hard to find my rhythm, but it was amazing. When I first started, we're talking about shining God's light for people who are in need, right? When I first started, everybody looked, you know, sad, everybody looked downtrodden. There were some people that had broken bones, actually, that didn't have proper medical care. And so I spoke about the healing power of God, because you guys believe that God can heal, right? Do you believe that? I believe that. I know that God can heal. I've been healed in this church, even of ankles. My parents remember I used to play soccer, and I would turn my ankle two or three times a game, and it was just terrible. I just couldn't do anything about it, and I'd just deal with the pain. But in this church, right here, I got healed from that weakness in my ankles, and I've never turned my ankle since that day. It's been amazing. And that was when I was about 16 or something. I'm almost 40, if you can believe that, those that have known me my whole life. I'm almost 40 years old. I'll be 40 in October. But God can heal. And so these people, they came up after the service with broken bones, and this one had, you know, an arm. He couldn't even lift it because it was that broken. And when you break a bone, it cuts off the blood flow in your arm. But I laid hands on him, and the Bible says, kids, that in Matthew 28, that we can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Do you believe that? I believe that. If you don't believe it yet, you will believe it, because it's really cool. It's one of the coolest things about the kingdom, that we get to lay hands on people and broken bones can get mended. And so he couldn't move his arm. It was like this. And I laid my hands on him in the name of Jesus, commanded healing in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, his eyes got really big, and he went like this and started moving his arm and dancing. And several people got healed that day. It was amazing. And the people who were sad, the people who were in need, encountered Holy Spirit. There was another time that I was in Indiana, and I was at this time with Barbara Yoder, a great woman of God, and she had received a word to do healing meetings in Indiana, right on the Great Lakes there. And I remember this one woman came, and she had an eye that wandered. She had a beautiful woman, but one eye was in its place and was looking at you, and the other eye couldn't focus. It would come this way and then go off and kind of wander off and all of that. And one of my friends, Margaret, and I, we prayed for this woman, and talking about shining Jesus' light when people are in need. And kids, do you know that you can do this? You can pray for people in the name of Jesus, and they can get healed. Faith and Lily, sometimes when they're in grocery stores and stuff, they say, Daddy, that person needs to know about Jesus. And I'm like, yeah, let's go talk to them about Jesus. They talk to everybody on their soccer teams about Jesus and talk about Jesus all the time. It's amazing, right? And so this lady with this eye that wandered off, I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And Margaret and I prayed for her over and over. And every time the eye got a little closer and finally it went and went into its place and stayed exactly where it was supposed to be. And this woman cried and praised the Lord. It was amazing. See, we live in a world that has need. We need Jesus. We live in a time in history that is very challenging. Not the most challenging time in recorded history, but quickly becoming perhaps the most challenging time in recorded history, depending on how things go and how people choose, especially in this nation. But whenever people are in need, we can shine the light of Jesus, right? Would you come up here with me? You? Yeah, come on. What's your name again?
Owen.
Owen, that's right, Owen. So when people are in need, we can do what? Shine the light of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And I want you to say this verse with me as we close, okay? Can you say this with me? For God.
For God.
So loved.
So loved.
The world.
The world.
That he gave.
That he gave.
His only son.
His only son.
That whoever.
That whoever.
Believe
in him
would not perish
but have
eternal life
through Jesus Christ
our Lord.
Amen.
Good job. Now you just stay here with me. And we just want Owen and I just want to invite any of the kids or anybody else that is here that needs to know Jesus. We want to invite you to talk to us either now. You can run up right now if you need to know Jesus. Or you can talk to us after the service because we want you, Owen and I, want you to know Jesus. Because Jesus' light has made all the difference in my life. Jesus has made all the difference for me. Jesus has made all the difference for so many of us in this place, and Jesus is the only one that can bring light into your darkness. Say amen.
Amen.
God bless you.